Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of studies on Psalm 119. Today's study will encompass verses 137 through 144 of Psalm 119, and our study today is entitled, God's Word is Right. God's Word is Right. So let's begin in Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So today's study is entitled, God's Word is Right. We compare what we just read to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 33, verse 4, which says, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. You see, my friends, God could not write anything that is not right, but he is truth. Some form of the word right is used six times in this 18th stanza of the 119th Psalm. This stanza gives us several attributes of God's word and the proper response to these attributes. First, we see that the word is pure in verse 140. Also, the word is true in verse 142. Then we see that reverence for it is displayed by zeal for it in verse 139, by love for it, verse 140, by delight in it, verse 143. And then we see that strife is found in those who ignore it, in verse 139. In our study today, we will cover four main points, and they are as follows. The first one is, its rightness consumes me, talking about God's word. Its rightness consumes me. Main point number two, God's word, its purity cleaves to me. Its purity cleaves to me. Main point number three we'll look at concerning God's word, its truthfulness cheers me. Its truthfulness cheers me. And then the last point, point number four we'll look at concerning God's word, its permanence commands me. Its permanence commands me. So again, as we look at Psalm 119, let's look at verses 137 to 139 as we begin to look at our first point concerning God's word, its rightness consumes me. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Now, the rightness of the word is derived from the righteousness of its author. You see, the character of God determines the character of his word, does it not? In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter number 32, in verse 4, the word of God says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. You see, my friend, God is steady. His word is steady. And we are steady when we learn to depend on it. We also see here in this, the first opening verses here of our study, we see that the psalmist trusts in the reliability, amen, of God's word. He trusts in the reliability of God's word, and his trust is in direct proportion to the one's trust in the Lord himself. See, he says, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." And why did he say? Why does he say that in verse 138? Because he says in verse 137, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments." So because God is righteous, because God can be trusted, because he's reliable, then you and I, as children of God, can trust in his word. Because God is the author of his word. And if he is trustworthy and reliable and righteous, so is not his word. Our opinion of God's revelation is identical to our opinion of him. If we believe his word, in essence we are saying God is righteous and true. And if we do not believe his word, we are saying God is a liar. But my friends, God's commandments are right. We are zealous over things we are persuaded are right. Are we not? We never, ever have to apologize for the Bible. One characteristic of God's enemy is disregard for God's words. Psalm 119, verse 139. The psalmist writes, "My zeal hath consumed me." Now watch it now. "Because mine enemies have forgotten thy words." So we see one of the characteristics of God's enemies is to disregard his word. Now Jesus said this in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 47. "He that is of God heareth God's words, yet therefore hear them not." He said, "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Again, Jesus said in John 8, verse 47, "He is that of God heareth God's word, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And of course, in this particular instance, he was dealing with a religious crowd of his day, amen. Now let's move on to the second point of our main point of our study, which is concerning God's word. Its purity cleaves to me. Again, Psalm 119, let's look at the first part of verse 40. We read, it says, "Thy word is very pure." Now look at verse 141. "I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts." Now the word pure means without mixture, free of anything foreign, unpolluted. No book written by man could be called very pure. Amen? And that's what the word of God is called here by the psalmist. In Psalm 119, verse 140, "Thy word is very pure." See, my friends, the Bible is either pure or it isn't. Notice in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, we read, "The words of the Lord are pure words, are silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Again, the words of the Lord are pure words. Amen. And what's interesting, many believe that God inspired his words, but he wasn't able to preserve it. Some will claim that we do not have preserved for us today God's inspired, inerrant, infallible word, that they were only to be found in the original autographs, in the original language. Well, if that's the case, we're in trouble. But praise God, we have God's pure words as God has preserved them, inspired, inerrant, infallible, in the Authorized Version 1611, King James Bible. Amen to that. Now, look also in the book of Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter number 30. And in Proverbs chapter number 30, I want us to look together in verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 30. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Again, every word of God is true. Amen. And can be trusted. And there's a warning here that those that add to it, amen, that they're liars. These, and who's the father of liars and deceit, and that's the devil. These so-called modern English versions are of the devil. Amen. And maybe that upsets you. I don't care. But that's the truth. You want God's word. You want his preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. His words that are very pure, that the psalmist speaks about in our Psalm 119 here, then you can find them in the Authorized Version, 1611, King James Bible. Praise the Lord for that. There are no impurities in God. Therefore, there are no impurities in his word. Now, the value of purity. Pure things are usually more expensive, are they not? God's word is a purifier. This book will get you out of the filth and dirt of this world. If a man were really pure, then he would love God's word. We read in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure. And he would not forget it. Amen. As the psalmist wrote here in Psalm 119, verse 141, he said, I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. He does so because it expresses the way the world feels towards one who embraces God's word. Amen. Look, for example, to what it says here in 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here we read in verse 28, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So the things that the world despises, God uses. Amen. The world despises his word. Amen. But his word is being mightily used today. Not only in our country here, but all around the world. That's why. Amen. Even though you and I are small and despised, we yet do we not forget his precepts. Very important. Even though in the world's eyes you and I are small potatoes, we're despised, amen, but let's not forget God's word. God's word is powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. Amen. God's word is what saved me over 17 years ago, and I thank God for it. I thank God that if I don't wake up tomorrow, I know because I've placed my faith and my trust on what Christ did at that cross at Calvary. He shed every ounce of his precious blood to save me. To save me individually from going to a sinner's hell. And that's what I'm trusting in and nothing else. My friends listening today, if you're not trusting in only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for your sins, to save you from going to a sinner's hell and to giving you a place in heaven, my friend, then you're on your way to that sinner's hell. Let's move on to the third point today in our study concerning God's word is right. God's word, its truthfulness cheers me. Let's look in Psalm 119 again. First, we'll look at the latter part of verse 142. It says, thy law is truth. Thy law is the truth. And then in verse 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. See? Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. I don't know about you, but I've felt that way before. And obviously the psalmist here was going through something horrific. But despite that, the verse doesn't end there. Yet thy commandments are my delights. Even though you're feeling troubled, like you're troubled and anguish has taken a hold on you, you can still take comfort. You still can take delight in the Word of God. You see, the psalmist is saying the truthfulness of God's Word is rooted in the truthfulness of God Himself. To understand who God is to understand what His Word is. Amen. Embracing the Word of God has brought the psalmist trouble and anguish to begin with. So adherence to the Word is not an exemption from affliction. In fact, it is a guarantee of affliction. However, trouble doesn't lessen one's delight in God's Word. It's God's Word that will cheer him during the time of trouble. You know, we can think of, when I think of that, I think of the Apostle Paul. In the situations that he found himself, for example, he and Silas were thrown into a Philippian jail for casting out a spirit of divination out of a young woman. And because of that, the livelihood of her masters was kaput. So they were upset. They went to the authorities, amen, about it. And Paul and Silas were cast into that Philippian jail. But, you know, despite that, despite trouble and anguish taking a hold on them, they delighted in God's word. Because we're told they prayed and sang praises to God that night. Amen. And that jailhouse, amen. You know, some people and the music, that wicked music industry called Elvis Presley the King. And one of the things that he wrote was a Jailhouse Rock. Well, nothing compared to what happened that night when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. That jailhouse literally rocked. Amen. And it was rocked by the King of Kings. Amen. And the Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that there was an earthquake. All the doors to the jails were open. And praise the Lord, we see a Philippian jailer and his household being saved. Because Paul and Silas, even though trouble and anguish took a hold of them, they still delighted in God's word. And that's what we need to do. Remember, if you embrace the word of God, you try to live for God, it's going to bring you trouble and anguish, because the world does not like that. Jesus even said, because the world hated me, it's going to hate you. So if the world's in love with you, my friend, and you're born again, you're a Christian, I check yourself out, amen. Now, let's look at our last point here, point number four, concerning God's word. Its permanence commands me. Notice in Psalm 119 again, verse 144, we read, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. You see, my friends, listening today, knowledge of the Word of God has eternal repercussions. First of all, it enables the believer to honor God on earth and prepares him to honor God with worship forever. If you have a problem down here worshiping God, then let me tell you, heaven is not going to be a fun place for you, because that's what's going to be going on. Amen. It's worshiping God. Amen. As the seraphims said, holy, holy, holy. Amen. You see, the Word of God is of little value to those whose horizons are only earthly and temporal. It's of eternal value only when our values are eternal. And those of us who recognize that, that's why we study, we read it, we proclaim it, we love it. I saw early on, after I first got saved, a great love for the Word of God. I was like a sponge. I couldn't see it then, but I believe God was working on me then, before I got the actual call to preach and pastor and teach. But those of you listening today know what I'm talking about. Recognize the eternal value of the Word of God. You know, some people may feel like, what are you wasting your time in the Word of God? I remember one time when I was newly saved and was on my job. It was lunchtime, and I was sitting at my desk, and my supervisor said to me at the time, as he saw me reading my Bible at my desk, unlike a lot of people at lunchtime back then, they play cards or do whatever. But I spent time reading my Bible, and he said to me, I remember it very clearly. He said, "Do you follow that book for your life?" And I said, "I do." And he said to me, "I feel sorry for you." Well, you know what, folks? I felt sorry for him. And that was many years ago. I've been saved over 17 years ago, and oh my goodness, that must have been probably a good 15 years ago that comment was made. But I praise God, I didn't give up. I continued living for the Lord day by day in front of that man. He saw my life change. He saw it wasn't just a fad or a fancy, that I was serious about the things of the Lord. And he saw me as I grew in the Lord and eventually called a pastor and teach and preach the Word of God. And praise the Lord. Oh, I'd say about 5 years ago it's going to be that he asked me to marry him. His first wife had passed away, and the second woman he was marrying had been divorced, and of course they were Catholic, and the church wouldn't marry them. And he came to me, and I said, "Well, I need to talk to you, because I know some preachers have a thing about marrying people. I won't marry the unsaved." And of course, the Bible says that someone's saved and someone's unsaved shouldn't be unequally yoked. So, make a long story short, I ended up leading him and his fiancée to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because I knew that the things of God, the Word of God, has an eternal value. As we conclude, we see the Bible is as righteous as God is righteous. We read in verse 137, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, upright are thy judgments." The Bible is pure as God is pure. Verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." The Bible is true as God is true. Verse 142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, thy law is the truth." And then, "The Bible is everlasting, as God is everlasting." Verse 144, "The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting." So again, we see today on our study, God's word is right. We saw its righteousness consumes me. Its purity cleaves to me. Its truthfulness cheers me. Its permanence commands me. And that concludes our study.